You're listening to a special podcast produced by UMFM 101.5 in partnership with the Winnipeg Folk Festival. Running Thursday, July 11th through Sunday, July 14th at picturesque Birds Hill Park, Winnipeg Folk Festival is a celebration of people and music that has been one of North America's premier outdoor music festivals for over 40 years. I'm Michael Elves, host of Thank God It's Free Range, and this episode spotlights Leith Ross. Ross, originally from Ottawa and now calling Winnipeg their home, came to fame playing songs during quarantine online and has since released their acclaimed debut record, To Learn. Leith Ross will be performing on Saturday, July 13th at 4:30 p.m. at Green Ash. For the full lineup, a complete list of set times, to purchase tickets, and for more information on the Winnipeg Folk Festival, visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca. Returning to the Winnipeg Folk Festival, now calling Winnipeg their home, Leith Ross joins me on the program. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So I always ask those who've performed at Folk Fest before kind of their reminiscences, or, you know, what their experiences were like. So it's only a couple of years since you last performed at Winnipeg Folk Festival. What do you recall, or what do you most take back from that previous performance?
Well, I think Winnipeg Folk was one of my first sort of bigger festivals I ever played. So the first thing I remember is just the excitement of doing all that for the first time. And then also because it was my first time playing a bigger festival, I wasn't sure how many people would show up to my set. And there was a surprising amount of people there, and everybody was so sweet and so kind and so attentive. And it was one of those beautiful stages sort of in the forest. And I don't know, it was just a very positive experience, especially, and it will always stick with me because it was one of my first times really feeling that.
So going back to the festival now, do you have like differing expectations, or kind of because you've experienced it, you have more of a sense of like what to expect for this time around?
Yeah, I think I do. I think I have a little bit less anticipation about how things will go. I feel just strictly logistically. but I also think that Winnipeg Folk is a bit of a unique situation because it feels so like home. All my friends will be there. So many of my friends are playing. So that also just lowers the anxiety levels of going into a big festival situation. I know that I'll get to see so many people I love play music and play music with people I love. And it's usually a pretty chill atmosphere.
Yeah, you're in a couple workshops and as well as your solo performance. Do you have a sense of like what you intend to do in those workshops, or is that kind of the thing where you allow kind of spontaneity to take hold?
Yeah, definitely. I prepare to a certain degree where I think about maybe some new songs or some covers that I really like to do. But then I will often, just spontaneously decide on the spot what I want to do, what I don't want to do. And I love the workshops because as much as I am proud of the songs that I've been touring for the last year and a half-ish, It does definitely feel a little bit more exciting to play something new or something I don't usually play.
Well, speaking of covers, I noticed your online presence. You do a lot of covers, or at least that seems to be something that your followers share a lot of is your covers. Are you always listening to kind of new music for kind of what might speak to you, or like what's your relationship with covers?
That's a good question. I don't really know. I've had a lot of trouble listening to new music in the last couple of years. For some reason, I've been stuck in a nostalgia loop of listening to songs I listened to exclusively in my childhood or my preteen years. But I do love covers, and I especially love doing covers of songs where I wouldn't think that they would maybe fit the kind of cover I do, especially when it's acoustically on the internet. But yeah, I love it. And also I love singing. And sometimes when I'm singing my own songs, I kind of forget that I'm that I like singing, or that I could be good at singing in a way that is more exploratory and more technical. So I also like singing covers for that reason, to just remember that I really like singing.
Is that because you're kind of like emotionally removed from the songs, like because they're not something that you yourself wrote and went through?
You know what? Maybe that might be it. It also might just be that I'm too familiar with my own songs, even like vocally, so it doesn't feel like a challenge or like something new or refreshing. It's harder for me to have the instinct to like play around vocally with songs that I've written, because it feels like I just always sing them the same way. But when I'm singing someone else's song, I'm like, ooh, let's experiment. Let's do something different.
Yeah, I was curious about the kind of the emotional remove aspect, because I read an interview you did with the Luna Collective, and you talked about kind of your brain almost acts as a trash compactor when it comes to songwriting.
Yeah.
Was the quote that you gave. I'm wondering if you can maybe elaborate on that or explain what you meant, if possible.
Yeah, I mean, I am definitely someone who's, anecdotal or personal songwriter. I definitely write pretty much exclusively about my life and my experiences. And often when I write a song, I'm not totally aware of what I'm trying to say or what I'm feeling. And the act of writing the song and being creative is what helps me to figure out what it is that I'm feeling or what it is that I want. That analogy kind of works as like it takes so many experiences and so many feelings that I've had over however long a time, and secretly inside me is being compacted into one songwriting idea that I didn't know about until I sit down to write this song, and then I realize what it is that has been compounding from all those experiences and all those feelings, and then the song comes out.
So are you like kind of surprised by your own lyrics, like where you're like, oh, this is what I was getting at, or this is what I was processing?
Yes, all the time. That happens to me a surprising amount. I'll be trying to find the right words for something and realize I'm discovering something I didn't know about myself or about how I feel about something.
So then when it comes through time to sift through songs and figure out kind of what the album is, let's say for like To Learn, for example, Are you trying to look for sort of like commonalities or like a thread that hangs everything together, or are you just kind of figuring out kind of these are the songs I like best?
Yeah, I think it's closer to these are the songs I like best. And To Learn was also a very slow and natural process, where often I would get up in the morning and have one song stuck in my head, or even I had like written a new song the night previous, and I would just go to Joey and be like, hey, can we record this one? So it was a bit of a spontaneous process sometimes. I'm working on putting together a new record now, and this time I am doing a little bit more of the seeing which songs are connected conceptually, because I feel like there's been a couple of overlying themes of the last like 6 months to year of my life. So I am leaning into it a little bit more, and it's interesting.
Are you playing those songs live at all? Like, are you going to include any of them in the Folk Fest performance, or is that something that you're kind of not ready to share?
I think there'll be a couple. I would like to start playing them live. There's a couple new songs that I've been wanting to put on the record that I've been playing live for quite a while. So they've just kind of entered the set list, but I might even add a new one that I've been working on.
Does crowd response weigh in on whether you'll like include something in a record? Like, because you know, started on the internet, were you getting feedback, and is that kind of what helped shape some of the like song decisions, or does that not matter?
It definitely does matter. I feel like I try to strike a healthy balance between, you know, taking that as very valuable information, what resonates with people, and then still doing what I want to do because I want to do it. But the other thing is that I do write a lot. I have a lot of songs. I write songs quite a bit. So it's kind of helpful for me just to see what other people like, what other people identify with, because it just narrows down the list of songs that I might want to record or move forward with. So yeah, it's a balance. I don't ever want to do it exclusively for that reason, but I like knowing what people like, and it does affect whether or not I'll play it or put it on a record.
You mentioned with To Learn that there was like some spontaneity to, you know, getting up and just working on a song. I did read though that you know, took more time in terms of after you'd recorded a song to kind of tinker with things and using the studio space to kind of process a song and not just necessarily put it out into the world right away. Is that something that you're taking with you on the new recordings?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I think that has worked its way into my practice a little bit more with recording. And I like it. I also like the feeling of being spontaneous and releasing something as it is and not obsessing too much over whether or not it's perfect or whether or not it's ready. I think you can fall into a deep hole pretty quickly with that line of thinking. But I am finding a new and different joy too in taking my time and really hashing something out, and yeah, making sure that I'm really like it. I'm really proud of it.
Do lyrics come first for you?
Honestly, yes. I think so. I can't say for sure. Like with my own songwriting, it doesn't feel that way. I think pretty even, like pretty equally about melody, chords, lyric, like the concept. But I think probably deep down, lyrics are most important to me, because that's what's most important to me by far when I'm listening to a song. I'm one of those people where if the song sounds bad and the melody is bad and the chords are bad, and, you know, just objectively, it might not be that good, but the lyrics are incredible, I will listen to it and I will love it. But the opposite isn't true. If it sounds amazing, everything sounds amazing, the melody's amazing, the production's amazing, the mixing's amazing, but I think the lyrics aren't great, I can't listen to it. So lyrics are definitely probably right up there at the top of my priorities.
So if they're central for you as a listener, like, do you wrestle with your lyrics at all? Like, are you the type of person who tinkers with turns of phrase or specific word choices and things like that?
Yeah, I do. I do sometimes. It really depends. On the less vulnerable songs, I'll kind of go over it a couple times and be like, okay, how could this be better, more concise, or what flows more naturally? Sometimes on the really vulnerable songs that mean a lot to me, that were written in a moment of true feeling or of vulnerability, I don't change the lyrics at all. And I just kind of have to run the risk of maybe some of them won't be good, but it's a feeling that I have of that the version of me that wrote that song knows better about how they felt or what they wanted to say than the version of me that's calm and not feeling that anymore and looking back on it a couple months later. So yeah, I think I do, but I want to be careful not to corrupt anything about the sort of honesty or, you know, how earnest it might sound when I don't tinker with it too much.
Is that like that notion of like your first best is your best guess? Like
when people— Yeah, kind of. And I think also, yeah, it's just probably more true, if that makes sense.
It hasn't been like filtered, or you haven't like reflected on it and thought your way out of it in a sense?
Totally. Or like songwriting insecurity hasn't reared its ugly head. You know, when I'm really feeling something and I'm writing something, I write what I feel and I write what I'm trying to say pretty clearly. And then sometimes if I look back at it and think, okay, I want to make this better, I want to change it, like 6 months to a year later, then I start thinking, oh, like what would a cool songwriter do? Like maybe this line needs to be more poetic. Maybe this line needs to be more metaphorical. And then I just start getting in my head about whether or not it's like good enough, not good in general, but good enough if it's cool, if it's appealing. And then it's sort of, I think, corrupts the songwriting. So I try not to overanalyze anything, really.
I read an interview you did with the Free Press before the Juno saying that, you know, unfortunately you have a disease where you mostly write songs when you're upset.
Yeah.
So is it one of those things where once you're over that upset and you're maybe at a remove from it emotionally, you just have to kind of live with what you wrote when you're feeling that versus, you know, the change in emotions later on?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because when I'm upset, I sometimes can think so, like I sometimes have such a moment of clarity about what I feel and what I need and all that stuff. And then later when I'm feeling fine, I just don't understand it the same way that the version of me that wrote the song did.
You relocated from Ottawa to Winnipeg. I'm curious what led to the decision to move here.
Yeah, well, so I was going to self-release my very first EP that I recorded at Humber College, where I went to school. And then my buddy, Joey Landreth, reached out and said, hey, Birthday Cake, would like to help you with this if you want help. So that's how I kind of developed a relationship with the Manitoba music scene. And then come time to release a record, and I don't remember what summer this would have been, maybe summer of 22. I went to play Harvest Moon just outside of Winnipeg. And essentially everyone was so nice. There were a couple of my musical heroes there and they were so kind to me. People wanted to play together, to sing together. The scene was super supportive of itself. And also the city was much more affordable than anywhere I'd ever lived. So I thought to myself, if I'm going to survive and thrive in this, then I want to be around this kind of a community and I want to be able to pay my rent easily. So I'm not, you know, too stressed about that to a point where I can't create. Yeah. And then I flew home. I bought my first car ever and I packed all my earthly belongings into it. And I drove back to Winnipeg 3 months later.
And there we go. That's great to hear that it was a positive experience that, you know, coming here led you to staying here.
Yeah, I love Winnipeg. I just fell in love with it.
The new record, are you working with the same folks that you worked with on the prior record or branching out or exploring kind of new people to kind of work with?
Yeah, this is branching out happening. I'll definitely have more information to share pretty soon, but what I can say is that it's all very exciting and I'm super thrilled to be heading into a new chapter.
Well, wonderful. Looking forward to hearing some new work. But before we let you go, Leith, I want to get you to pick a track off To Learn that we can play for listeners. And if you have a reason why you're picking it or an anecdote, but I'd love to hear that.
Okay, well, how about You on My Arm, because it's gay and happy and it's Pride Month and it's summer and yeah.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, Leith, thanks very much for your time and looking forward to seeing you at the Winnipeg Folk Fest.
Thank you so much. Smile at me.
sleep beside me and nothing, no terrible dream could ever wake us. I don't wanna wake up. And then one good day when we live in the same city, I'll come by and tell you that you look insanely pretty, like something, don't know what it'd be. Hoping there's somewhere to go.
I'm Michael Elds, and you've been listening to a special podcast spotlighting Leith Ross, who'll be performing on Saturday, July 13th at 4:30 p.m. at Green Ash at the Winnipeg Folk Festival. To hear more featured artists, visit umfm.com, and be sure to visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca to get tickets to this great event running July 11th through 14th at Birds Hill Park.